People are actually losing their homes and asking to rent in our apartments.
The biggest obstacle is, of course, lack of funds.
We think we've helped 58,000 people.
We're constantly having a greater demand for affordable housing.
Welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, brought to you by Eden Housing.
For months, we've known that California had to shave millions of dollars from countless budget items. But only very recently have we learned that redevelopment agencies in the state stand to lose $2.05 billion over the next 2 years. Hi, I'm Joanne Green, and welcome to the Affordable Housing Podcast, where my guest today is John Shirey, Executive Director of the California Redevelopment Association. Welcome, John.
Hello, Joanne. Thank you.
Sure. Now, to set the stage for our conversation, tell us, if you would, the role that redevelopment plays in terms of funding affordable housing in California.
Redevelopment, as it turns out, is the second largest source of funds for affordable housing in California behind the federal government, which, of course, is huge. We're an important player, and redevelopment agencies have produced tens of thousands of affordable housing units in recent years.
So how is redevelopment funding different from general fund money?
Well, it's different in that there's a special designation in the Constitution of California that was authorized by the voters, believe it or not, back in 1952. And that provision allows for what we call tax increment funding. These are dollars that are property tax dollars, but that result when redevelopment agencies make new investments in specific project areas. As a result of those new investments, property tax values increase, thus the taxes that are paid are greater than they were before, and it's that incremental increase that comes back to the agency for the payment of its debts and obligations. General fund monies are more general, to use a repetitive term, but those are property tax dollars or sales tax dollars or other kinds of funds that flow into the general funds of cities, counties, special districts, and those are used for most services that they're providing, such as police and fire and support for parks and planning and those general activities that local governments carry on.
So what are the various things that redevelopment monies are used for?
They're used primarily for cleaning up areas that are suffering from blight. That's the term that is not good to hear, but it's what's specified in the law as being the purpose of redevelopment. But then what does that mean practically? Well, what it means is that redevelopment agencies are spending their money to turn around neighborhoods. And they might be putting that money in infrastructure such as better streets, improved water lines, expanded sewers, those kinds of things that people don't really appreciate and understand until you don't have them or they're not there in adequate quantity or supply. They also spend their money, as we've talked about, for affordable housing. At least 20% of all their dollars go for affordable housing. They spend money for community facilities that might be amenities for housing or other kinds of commercial development, such as playgrounds for kids or a senior center. And then they may spend their money for other kinds of economic development activities, such as cleaning up contaminated property so that something else can be built there, like an office building or a store or something of that sort. So land acquisition, either for affordable housing or for economic development generally, those are all kinds of expenditures that redevelopment agencies undertake.
Well, clearly the kinds of projects that no one would object to in the ultimate scheme of things, right, and that are a win-win for communities everywhere. Now, tell us exactly what the governor signed into legislation most recently.
Well, what the legislature passed and what the governor signed into law was a bill that has the number, AB 26, but then you have to hang on to it, the 4X, because it was passed in the fourth extraordinary session of the legislature, which was called specifically to address California's deficit. It seems like we always have a deficit, and the latest one was about $24 billion. And so the legislature came up with a series of bills to amend the budget for the current fiscal year and also to change some things in the next fiscal year. So it was a whole series of bills that were passed, signed by the governor. One of those was this legislation, which takes away the $2.05 billion that you mentioned earlier from redevelopment agencies. Now, I want to add that this isn't like many of the other pieces of legislation where some state program was cut. This is money that the state didn't have and never will have. This is local government money that's supposed to stay local. And so the state took an action to really change the purpose of this money so that it would offset an expense to schools that the state therefore won't pay. So people may say, well, gee, I've heard this money will go to schools, and it will, but it's no net new money for schools. It's then money that the state won't send to schools.
So I know this isn't entirely a new story, that the state's tried to do this sort of thing before and that you have sued. On what grounds, and is this something you might be able to do again?
We sued last year when the state tried to take $350 million from redevelopment agencies, and we intend to sue again for this $2.05 billion. We sued last year and we won. We sued in Sacramento Superior Court, and the decision came back in our favor, and the state was thwarted in its attempts to take that $350 million. The basis that we sue is that this is unconstitutional. I referred to the measure that was passed by the voters in 1952, which authorized tax increment financing. That provision is now Article 16, Section 16 of the Constitution, and it says in pretty plain language that these funds are to go to redevelopment agencies for the purposes of payment of debts and obligations of their project areas. So we believe that by the state diverting these funds to other purposes, which are not related to expenses and obligations of redevelopment project areas, that's a violation of the Constitution. There's actually a second point that we make in our lawsuit, and that is that these takes of funds are what we call impairment of contracts. That's provided for in both the state and federal constitutions, and basically that concept means that legislatures can't pass laws that impair contracts. Because this take of funds interferes with the ability of redevelopment agencies to pay for bonded indebtedness, and every agency has bonded indebtedness, or contractual obligations that it might have with a nonprofit housing developer, let's say, this money being taken away in this way is also a violation of the Constitution because it impairs contracts.
Is there anything different about this year's legislation, John, that'll make it tougher to prevail in a lawsuit?
It will make it tougher. They apparently realize that their case that they have appealed isn't a very good one, and so they've tried to go back in and rewrite the statute in ways that will make it tougher for us to appeal. And frankly, it doesn't change the basic underlying principle here, which is that this is unconstitutional. But they have tried to put up some roadblocks, such as they've put a provision in which will force us to certify all agencies in the state as a class. So therefore, this will have to be a class action lawsuit, which is, you know, more time-consuming, more expensive, more difficult to do, all as an effort to just make it harder for us to go after them on the basic constitutional grounds.
We have a lot of affordable housing advocates who listen to our podcast. If they want to help the cause, is there anything in particular that they can do to help you?
Well, first of all, we're thankful for our allies in the affordable housing community because they did try to prevent the legislature from taking this money that is going to affect affordable housing as well. But what they need to do are a couple of things. First of all, they need to let the governor know that what he's done sets California's economy back. I call this an anti-economic stimulus bill because it means that construction of affordable housing, infrastructure, community facilities, all those things that I described, that won't be done, which means that people that would otherwise be put to work won't be put to work. When people aren't working, they're either unemployed and they're not paying taxes, all of which would help rescue our economy right now from the doldrums. They need to let the governor know, and they need to let legislators know that what they've done is counter to what we need done in California to get the economy moving again and to house people, because even though housing prices have gone down and property values have gone down, we still have a lot of people that can't afford, you know, decent and safe affordable housing. So the issue hasn't gone away. You know, the second thing they can do are to work with other community groups to let them know this money is being taken away and it's needed for community purposes. So they need to build allies with other local groups that may not otherwise have much of an understanding about even affordable housing, much less something as kind of mysterious at times as redevelopment. So they need to build more allies at the local level in order to let legislators know that this is simply not acceptable.
And we can send them as well, I would assume, to your website where there's more information on this. Can you give us the web address there?
Sure. The website is www.calredevelop.org. So it's calredevelop.org.
Thanks so much for shedding light on what such an important topic for us today. And I know this is not an easy time for you. We really appreciate you making the time to help educate our listeners. John Shirey is the executive director of the California Redevelopment Association. And thanks to all of you for listening. I'm Joanne Green. This is a production of Eden Housing, and you can find them on the web at www.edenhousing.org.
SmarterPodcasts.com, delivering sound advice.